KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, it's cloudy and 33 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a chance of occasional sprinkles or drizzle today in a high around 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. In area news, icy roads contributed to two rollover accidents Tuesday morning in our listening area. The Iowa State Patrol says a Harlan woman was injured when her car crashed in Audubon County. 46-year-old Patty Hildreth of Harlan was traveling east on Highway 44, about 5 miles east of Kimbleton. With a 2000 Chevy Impala she was driving went out of control on the 100% ice-covered roadway. The car slid off the road into the south ditch before rolling over and coming to rest on its top. The accident occurred just before 8 a.m. Tuesday. Hildreth, who was wearing her seatbelt when the accident took place, was transported by Elkhorn Rescue to the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. And an Atlantic woman suffered minor injuries when her SUV rolled into a ditch Tuesday north of Atlantic. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said a Jeep Wrangler driven by 58-year-old Deborah Seitz of Atlantic was traveling north on Olive Street at around 8:55 a.m. As Seitz told, slowed to turn into Echo Road. Her SUV slid on the side of the icy roadway, crossed the west ditch, and rolled onto its top. Seitz was transported to Cass County Memorial Hospital by Atlantic Medevac for treatment of minor injuries. Damage to the vehicle was estimated at $3,000. News time is 8:02.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Cass County Sheriff's Office reported Tuesday 18-year-old Christopher Joe McVeigh of Atlantic was arrested Sunday for possession of a controlled substance. McVeigh was booked into the Cass County Jail and released Monday on his own recognizance. The Sheriff's Office had reported also that 37-year-old Gregory James Storjahan of Walnut was arrested Friday on a charge of driving while barred. Storjahan was taken to the Cass County Jail where he posted a $2,000 bond and was released, but he was arrested the next day by Atlantic Police on the same charge. A man wanted in Shelby County for revocation of his probation held authorities in Pottawatomie County at bay for more than 4 hours on Friday. Sergeant Dwayne Ritchie with the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Department told KJAN News Tuesday that 34-year-old Aaron David Hawken of rural Avoca barricaded himself in a home at 3575 Highway 59, about 4 miles north of Avoca, at around 5 p.m. Friday after deputies had attempted to serve a warrant.
The ERT team was called. That's our emergency response team. And command vehicle was dispatched to the location with the team. Council Bluffs crisis negotiators were dispatched also.
The father of Aaron Hawken also arrived on the scene. Sergeant Ritchie said during the next couple of hours, auxiliary lighting was set up to eliminate the residents and any potential routes of escape Hawken might have. In addition, the propane and electricity service to the home was shut off.
A poll camera was requested from the Council Bluffs Police. Four members of our team and a Council Bluffs Police were dispatched to the residence to utilize the poll camera. As the team was advancing towards the residence, the negotiator advised that he made contact with the male subject inside the residence and would attempt to talk him out of the residence.
Ritchie says it soon became apparent that efforts at negotiations would be successful.
He stated he would come out of the residence and would be exiting into the garage area. A few minutes passed, and the male subject did present himself at the doorway from the garage to the interior of the residence. The emergency response guys were able to secure him without incident. At 9:26 hours, the residence was cleared for any additional occupants. There was no one else in the residence.
Hawken, who never displayed a weapon during the incident, was transported to the Shelby County Jail, where he was being held on $50,000 bond. The price you pay for your kids to participate in some of the Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department's summer recreation programs will be going up, and be prepared for some changes in how some of those programs operate. Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring said at Monday night's meeting of the Park and Rec Department that one of the changes affects the playground program.
Changes in that playground program would be from multiple multiple sites, meaning two sites, to one site, to where everyone would be at Washington. It would be 2 hours, and the time frame would be from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, as opposed to 1 to 3 in the afternoon. The rationale behind that is that we're trying to incorporate into our programming the lunch program at the YMCA.
Herring said each day's activities will be published as the time frame grows closer, but they will involve crafts and exercise. Each session would conclude with lunch at the YMCA. The students will be escorted from the Washington School to the Y, where their parents can pick them up after lunch. Herring recommended, and the Park and Rec Board Monday approved, charging parents a fee to enroll their kids in the playground program.
This is hard for me, okay, because I know it's never been done before, but as I look at this whole program, I don't think it's asking too much for $1 a day. We have 20 sessions, so I would recommend that we would charge $20 for a student or a participant in our playground program. Again, that's $1 a day. It's 20 sessions. It would run from May 29th to June 29th.
The board and Herring agreed that no student will be turned down for the program because of an inability to pay. Service clubs may be asked to help defray the costs. Roger Herring says also the swimming program would be held once a week on Tuesdays at the Sunnyside Swimming Pool, and no lunch would be served. The swim team, which is held May 29th through July 15th, will practice at noon daily at the Sunnyside Pool, with practice during inclement weather inside at the Nishna Valley YMCA. Participants, as in the past, will be required to purchase their own swimsuits, T-shirts, and goggles. The price for T-shirts, according to Herring, will be going up just a bit.
Recommend that we raise the fees from $20 to $25. Again, costs of suits and things are going up, and I would tell you, if you were to compare around, it's a bargain at $25.
Board Chair Stuart Dusenberry pointed out that's still much lower than it was years ago, when the Parks Department was still paying to bus students to the various swim meets. Since the policy was changed, parents have been handling that responsibility. The increase in fees also helps to cover the cost of paying for a swim team coach, assistant coach, and manager, which had previously been a volunteer position. Herring said there were 60 participants in the program last year, and he says if there are a similar number this year, it will be a break-even proposition for the Parks and Rec Department cost-wise. The adult softball fee is also expected to be restructured, but the details on that have not yet been worked out. Western Iowa residents forced out of their homes by Missouri River flooding may have another option for temporary housing. Iowa Finance Authority spokesperson Ashley Jarrett said that flood victims can apply for a waiver to live in housing usually restricted by the federal government to low-income families.
They don't have to worry about their income to seek some housing assistance in those properties. We just ask them to go to our website and fill out a form and kind of search and see if there's a vacancy at an affordable property. We have all of the contact information at iowafinanceauthority.gov for them.
The waiver applies to flood victims in Monona, Harrison, Pottawatomie, Mills, and Fremont counties.
They just have to verify that they did indeed live in one of those five counties in Iowa during the period of May 25th to August 1st, 2011, and that their property was indeed damaged or destroyed by the flooding. And we will go ahead and see what we can do to get them into an affordable rental project.
The Finance Authority says over 1,200 Iowans have filed for assistance from FEMA following last year's flooding. And taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, President Barack Obama is laying out an election year proposal to cut the corporate tax rate. Congress is not expected to approve the plan to cut the rate from 35% to 28%. And to seek an even lower effective rate for manufacturers. Corporations would have to give up dozens of loopholes and subsidies that they now enjoy. A preliminary hearing is scheduled in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia this afternoon for the man accused of plotting a suicide bombing at the U.S. Capitol. Amin El-Khalafi of Alexandria was charged following a year-long FBI sting. He was provided with dummy weapons. Afghan and U.S. officials say they're considering pushing through a compromise of a long-delayed partnership agreement to govern U.S. operations in Afghanistan after 2014. The contentious issue of night raids and control over detainees would be relegated to separate negotiations. News time is 8:10.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontanelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Oneida, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in our funeral announcements this morning, Carolyn Bonamy, age 88 of Arcadia and formerly of Manning, died Sunday at the St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for Carolyn Bonamy will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Faye Fredrickson, age 93 of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Faye Fredrickson will be held Thursday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Arlene Leistead, age 94 of Elkhorn, died Sunday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Arlene Leistead will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Grace Gall, age 70 of Erling, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Grace Gall will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Joanne Johnson, age 78 of Weston, Missouri, and formerly of Oneida, died Sunday at the Newmark Care Center in Weston, Missouri. Funeral services for Joanne Johnson will be held Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Oneida. Janice Otto, age 84 of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Janice Otto will be held Friday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Clarence Summers, age 81 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor in Oneida. Memorial services for Clarence Summers will be Friday at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. John Hatfield, age 50 of Oneida, died February 10th at his home. Memorial services for John Hatfield will be Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Oneida American Legion Hall. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Oneida has the arrangements. Lorraine Ely, age 86 of Lyman, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Lorraine Ely will be on Saturday at 11:30 at the Evergreen Cemetery in Oneida. Hockenberry Family Care in Oneida has the arrangements. And Frank Thomas Silk, age 93 of Griswold, died Saturday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Frank Silk will be this Saturday at 1:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontanelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.